You are about to listen to South Shore Community Church's sermon preached on the 21st of June 2020. South Shore Community Church is located on the South Shore of Montreal. Pastor Jay's sermon this week is entitled, Lessons from My Dad.
Well, happy Father's Day. I know that many fathers who are maybe watching today are feeling more stressed than you've ever been on another Father's Day. But I hope that this can be a happy day for you. And as fathers, I think sometimes part of the stress comes because we kind of feel like the buck stops here, that we are ultimately responsible for what happens to our family. And in times of uncertainty, we kind of begin to wonder, you know, am I wise enough? Am I strong enough to carry my family through this? And we don't know what lies ahead. And so there can be fear in our hearts, and we can be afraid of someone in our family getting sick, or whether we're currently off work or not, we can look at the economy and all that is happening to it and begin to wonder what's going to happen in a year's time. And will we still have our job at that point? And wondering maybe if a Great Depression is just around the corner. And there's protests and rioting happening and all this kind of thing over racial issues and other concerning things that are happening in our society that may cause us to wonder what sort of world our kids are going to live in, and whether or not we can really adequately prepare them for it, because we don't feel always adequately prepared for what's happening ourselves. And we see some of the decisions that our leaders are making, and there are real questions in our minds sometimes, or maybe we even know that they're just not the right decision. And some of us remember those days when we were kids and we felt like our dads could handle anything. And we're wondering if we can provide that same kind of security for our kids. Of course, our dad's probably worried about the same things, not about COVID-19, but about whether they could be the dad that they needed to be to help prepare us for the days that would be ahead. There's so much in our lives that is out of control, and we naturally can get very worried about those things. And I've noticed that a common approach that secular psychologists and experts suggest to people during these times is to focus on the things that you can control. And I heard someone, in fact, say that, well, you know, people who were stocking up on toilet paper, so there was this big shortage, you know, they were just focusing on something they could control. And if that made them have less stress, well, then that's a good thing. But, you know, I don't actually think that that kind of behavior is harmless. It really can cause huge problems in our society as everyone gets this me-first mentality. And of course, we've been encouraging everyone to be reaching out to non-Christians around them, whether coworkers or neighbors, during this time, and demonstrate that the love of Christ makes a difference and that we're different. And I think that the Christian response to all that is happening in our society is to recognize that there are so many things that are out of our control, that we really can't control, and that's okay, that we can live with that because of who God is to us. A Christian can live with the knowledge that our very next breath could be our last and not be stressed out, because we know that God is ultimately in control and that we can trust Him no matter what happens in our lives. And I know that sometimes, even as Christians, it's hard for us to have that mindset. And so I want to encourage all of us, of course, but especially dads today, to let go of a load that we were never meant to bear. We're to take responsibility of being a husband, of being a father seriously, or if you're not a husband or father today, of whatever role God has placed you in. We're supposed to take those roles and responsibilities seriously. But even in the good times, when everything is going smoothly, we really need to be dependent on the Lord. We really need to remind ourselves that we don't have it under our control. Not a single one of us is wise enough and strong enough to carry our families through the unknown future at any point in our lives, even when we feel like maybe we are strong enough, we are wise enough. That's just hubris. It's just pride. And in reality, there are so many things that are out of our control. There are so many things that can change in an instant, whether in a car accident or a health crisis or societal changes or just things at work. So many things can happen, and so many things we take for granted on a daily basis. God is the only one who knows what the future holds. He's the only Father who's wise enough and strong enough to carry us through this. Psalm 139:16 tells us that God knew every single day of our lives before even one of them came to be. He knows the future. And of course, the Bible teaches us that God is powerful and strong enough to do anything. So of course, he's strong enough to carry us through this. And he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us, as Hebrews 13:5 says, that he will, and as James 1 says, he will provide wisdom if we ask for it. And so if you're feeling the pressure today on Father's Day, the best thing that we can possibly do is to talk to our Heavenly Father about it. And ideally, to talk to someone else about it as well. We do so much better when we share our burdens with one another, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 encourages us to carry each other's burdens. And so I want to encourage you, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling like you don't know if you can get through the next day or the next week or the next month, we don't have to do this alone. That's why it's so important that we have a home church, that we get to know people who are Christians, so that we have other Christians to reach out to in the times when we don't feel like we can get through the next day. And so I want to encourage you, especially fathers today, if you don't have anybody that you can talk to, why don't you reach out to us? We'd love to help you become part of a hub. That's a group of three guys who get together occasionally. Right now, it might be over Zoom to encourage one another. Of course, we have small groups, some of which are still meeting virtually during this time. But if you'd like to help us to start a small group, if you recognize that you need that kind of fellowship, we'd love to help you to get one started, because we just believe it's that important. As I reflected on Father's Day over the last week or so, of course I thought about my own father and the godly lessons that I learned from him. And I'm sure that many of you who are listening could share good things that you learned from your father. There are so many things that we might not even be conscious of, ways that we're like our dad, and in our ideas or our perspective or our way of doing things. My dad died nearly 11 years ago when I was 36, but he continues to shape who I am today. And the first lesson that I would like to highlight today, a lesson that I learned from my dad in how to be a godly father, is a lesson that probably most of us as fathers would rather that we didn't have to teach our kids, because it's a lesson that comes out of our failure. At some point in our lives, we all realize that our fathers aren't perfect. When we're little kids, we may feel like our fathers can do anything. But we, at some point, some of us at a very young age, others of us maybe at an older age, realize that our father doesn't know everything. And that there are situations where he can't rescue us, where we need to learn how to handle something on our own. And of course, we also learn that they make mistakes, that there are things that they do that are not the things that God would want them to do, or in some cases are even fall far short of what non-Christians would expect. And you know, some of the lessons that we learn from anyone who's a mentor to us are usually how not to do things. And for some of us, that might be, we might feel like that's the majority of the lessons that we learned from our dad. And there may be a lot of hurt to go along with that. I grew up with a great dad, but he wasn't perfect. And I thank God that he didn't pretend to be perfect either. Because I almost think that that's an even, well, I don't know if it's worse, but it's still a very difficult circumstance where we have parents or particularly a dad in the family who is so prideful that he'll never admit when he's wrong. And so, of course, as a dad myself, I'm reminded of Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 1 John 1:8 that says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, sometimes we may deceive ourselves, but we're not going to deceive our kids or our spouse. If we don't admit it when we fall short, they still know. And I'm thankful for a dad who knew how to say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong, who was humble enough to admit if he made a mistake. Those words didn't always come easily, I'm sure, but he wasn't afraid that we would respect him less if he admitted that he was wrong, if he admitted that he made a mistake. He recognized that, in fact, acknowledging our failures leads to greater trust and to a deeper relationship. And so I don't know if you learned this lesson from your dad or not, but I hope that all of us today can learn from this and learn to be humble enough to admit when we're wrong, that we're not perfect, and recognize that that's actually one of the ways, even as Christians, that we can demonstrate a true witness. That Christians aren't perfect. We're just following a God who's perfect and striving to be like him. And we're leaning on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we do that well and other times we don't. And in those cases, then we lean on the Holy Spirit to help us to be strong enough, to be humble enough to admit that we're not perfect. The second lesson that I learned from my dad is that loving God is the most important thing in life. Pastor Matt talked in the Kids Minute about loving God with all that we are. And I'm not sure how many times my dad said that no matter what we ended up doing as kids when we grew up, no matter what we did with our lives, that he would be proud of us as long as we were serving Jesus with all of our heart. It didn't matter whether our job was a blue-collar job or a white-collar job, whether it required great expertise or whether it was something that we could just work, put in our hours and go home and never think about it again. That didn't matter. What mattered was that we were doing what God called us to do, that we were serving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And of course, that's what Jesus said is the greatest commandment. In Matthew 22:37, he said, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you know, we can probably all point to many things that we learned from our fathers. But in a sense, if we can say that from our father, we learned this lesson, not that he did it perfectly, but that's the way his life was positioned, that he wanted to serve God with all that he was, then I think we can count ourselves as blessed. And we can give thanks for fathers today who love God with all their heart, imperfectly as that is, that we just are seeking to put God first in our lives, that we allow God to shape us, to challenge us, that some of the mistakes that we acknowledge them because the Holy Spirit did a work in our lives. And you know, my dad and, to be honest, my mom too, they didn't just talk about this as a truth to be lived out. They lived it out in front of me. They weren't always praying in front of us or doing spiritual things, but we knew that behind the scenes, they were praying for us. Family decisions were made based on what the Bible said, not just on what everybody else was doing or what they thought was the wisest thing. Our priorities were determined by not just even what we found in the Bible, but what we felt as a family were God's priorities for us. We didn't try to keep up with the Joneses because we understood that the Joneses were probably living for a completely different purpose. I'm sure that we had many conversations around the table about whether it was whether we could afford things, and no, you know, we weren't going to afford that because we had concern for people who were not as well off as us, and we knew that part of our stewardship was giving to causes that God would want us to support. And so maybe we didn't have the same clothes or shoes as brand names as some of the other kids in our neighborhood because we lived for different priorities. And these spoke so loudly to me as a child and shaped who I am today. And so I give thanks today for a dad who loved God with all his heart, soul, and strength and allowed that to impact his daily decisions, his daily life. There was a recognition that doing the right thing is not usually the popular thing to do. And so we needed to live differently than the average person, even sometimes the average person in the church. Because, you know, we're all a work in progress. And so if we just judged ourselves and kind of said, well, you know, I'm at least as good as the person who sits beside me in church or is two rows up or two rows back, that's not the standard that we're called to. Jesus said that we needed to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. And while we know that that's an impossible standard, we know that the Holy Spirit is here to help us to become more and more like Him. And that's what Jesus was really aiming at, is that we would never settle, but we would press in for all that God has for us. And so today, I'm thankful for a dad who lived his life like that. And that's my desire as a dad too, that I would continue to serve God with all that is within me. Part of loving God with all my heart, or with all our hearts, that our parents demonstrated to us, is also that they prioritized worshiping with His people. And I know that today our worship is a little bit different. We're all virtually watching this sermon today. We aren't connecting quite the way we normally would. And yet, I know that if my parents were alive today and I was still living in their home, we'd all be around the screen faithfully week after week. Why? Because we believed that worshiping with God's people was part of loving God. That loving the church, we don't just come to church because people love us, but we come as an expression of our love for God. That this is part of who He's called us to be, is part of something bigger than just us. And of course, when Jesus said that the first and greatest command was to love God, He also said that the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that that's a big part of what we do when we come together in our services, is we strive to love one another well. And you know, sometimes people are so good at loving the neighbor at church, or the neighbor in our community, or the neighbor in our workplace, but we struggle with loving the neighbor who lives with us in our house, with our family. And I learned so much about loving our neighbor, in a sense, from my dad, from my parents, as I was growing up. And I'm so thankful for a dad who loved me unconditionally. When he talked about that he'd be so pleased and so proud of us, kids, no matter what we did, as long as we loved Jesus, I learned something about unconditional love, about a father who, no matter what we did, in a sense, would just love us and support us in using the talents and abilities that God had given to us. I learned about unconditional love from my dad as I watched him love my mom. I learned about what it was to be a husband who loves his wife, who loves her unconditionally, not based on what she's doing around the house or what she's doing to bring in money for the household, or not based on anything that she was doing, but simply saying, I'm her husband. God has called me to be a good husband. And of course, he didn't do that perfectly and had to apologize to my mom many times. But I learned so much even about unconditional love from those times when he demonstrated that he didn't have to hold on to his ego, that he didn't have to win in an argument, that he could admit that he was wrong. And I know that as I talk about this, that for some of you, this may even raise pain in your hearts about situations in your lives. But I want us to be reminded today that as we thank God for the good fathers, for the fathers who are doing what is right, we have a heavenly Father who is here to heal wounds, who is here to help us. For those of you who are fathers today and you didn't have that kind of an example in your own home of a good father to follow, you don't have to follow in the pattern of your dad, that you have a heavenly Father whose pattern you can follow, that you can demonstrate his grace and unconditional love to your family. And you don't have to continue those patterns. And I sincerely believe that the Holy Spirit is capable of making dramatic change in our lives and, in a sense, erasing some of the things from our past and helping us to be the fathers that he's called us to be. And so I want to encourage you today with that. And in fact, today, in the past week, I read a story of a man who was talking about his father who was so good, his grandfather who was such a good dad, but that his great-grandfather was such a terrible dad. He was an alcoholic and abused his kids. And his grandfather had hated his great-grandfather until he came to know Christ. And it was shortly after he was married and before the kids were born. And they talked about how they were always kind of shocked when their dad talked about how he felt about his dad, who had been so harmful, until he came to know Jesus. And Jesus transformed his life and enabled him to be a far different dad and to forgive his dad. And so, you know, part of loving our neighbor is also loving the members of our family who've hurt us. And so I just want to challenge us all as dads, even as we give thanks for the good, that we can also allow our Heavenly Father to transform us today and to learn to love even our dad who is imperfect and to recognize that that's part of loving our neighbor as ourself. We love because God first loved us, not because we can drum it up in ourselves. But you know, when Jesus called us to love our neighbor, he really was speaking out of that reality that we are all loved by our Heavenly Father, that we can all learn to love the way that he loves. And you know, our parents, or my dad specifically, I can say, taught me so much more about unconditional love as we looked outside of our family. They continued to love people even who weren't loving towards them. People who criticized them and who opposed them, who treated them unfairly. There's always a picture I have in my mind of one Sunday after church, a man who, my dad was a pastor as well, and a man who disagreed with something that my dad had preached, and he was yelling at him and screaming at him, and my dad tried to deal with him gently and to help him to see that that wasn't what he meant, or even that I don't know what the argument was really about. I just know that he was very patiently trying to help this man to understand what he was trying to say. And finally, when nothing would get through, he just turned and walked away. And the man was much smaller than him, and so he came running after him and was, you know, kind of raising his fists at my dad's back, and my dad just kept walking and gently walked away. And I remember talking with him after, and he was like, you know, he's very upset. There was nothing more that I could do, you know, but I love that man, you know, and I hope that I'm just praying for him that God will help him to understand my heart and what I was trying to say, and that God will direct him. And that really impacted me and how I approach conflict and how I approach other people and recognizing that, you know, we need to look at them and try to understand them before we seek to be understood ourselves, and just do our best to show our hearts to others. My parents demonstrated that loving people is more important than proving that you are right and they're wrong. And my dad demonstrated that through a patient consistency, and that's something that I always want to emulate, that even when people treated him wrong, he just kept loving them. He just kept showing what he could of love. Not that he didn't confront things when they needed to be confronted, but in the main, he just continued to love people and to show and to continue to do what he felt that God was calling him to do, what he felt was right in those situations. Of course, to talk to others and seek wisdom in case he was getting things wrong. And as he showed that patient consistency with people over the years, I saw so many people, people who disagreed with him, people who were his biggest critics who actually turned into his biggest fans and were cheering him on and supporting him and even working alongside him often in ministry and in life. And I just think that's such an awesome example that we as fathers can set for our kids. There's so much anger, there's so much hatred, there's so much misunderstanding in our society today. And we as fathers, as godly fathers, can demonstrate such a difference to our kids when we treat situations like that and really strive to understand the other person instead of just trying to present our view. I learned about loving neighbors who looked different than me, whether because of racial or ethnic reasons or because of self-destructive behaviors and addictions. I learned to look at people and understand that people are people wherever they are, whatever culture they come from, whatever hurts they have in their past. Everybody just wants someone to love them, to understand them. And we as Christians can demonstrate that love to others. We can't always fix all of their problems. We can't always satisfy them, but we can definitely love them and show them the love of Christ. I learned that loving your neighbor looks like being the servant of all. It looks like doing the things that need to be done, whether someone else was supposed to do them or whether it's your job, with faithfulness. No matter how small the responsibility is, to do it with excellence. And that really, all of these things tie into loving our neighbor and loving God. And that's why Jesus said, you know, that all of the commandments hang on these two things, that if we love God and we love our neighbor, we're ultimately going to get all the other things right too. Love really is the key. And yet there are so many other things that we can point to, that we learn from our dads, if they're godly dads. And there's just a couple more that I want to highlight today as well. Another thing that I learned from my dad is that God isn't afraid of our questions and our doubts. And I think that this is so important because so often we see Christian dads who are and parents really who are maybe threatened by the questions of their kids when they don't know the answer. And who will just say, oh, just believe. Or, oh, sometimes shut up and do what I'm asking you to do. Instead of answering the why questions and the how questions. And I'm really thankful for a dad who recognized that taking the time to explain the whys and the hows mattered, that it's so important not to consider questions and doubts to be a fearful thing, to think, oh, my kids aren't going to serve Jesus because they have so many questions. No, in fact, it was puzzling through all those questions that drew us closer to Jesus, closer to God, and helped us to understand him better and to deepen in our faith so that we could handle the questions that were thrown at us later in life. And so many of those questions were brought up around a family dinner table. And I'm thankful that our parents prioritized time together, meal times, and that they answered our questions, I'm sure, surely as in accordance with our development. They didn't give an adult answer to a three-year-old. But at the same time, they treated us with respect and with our questions at the level that we were at that time. And they really strove to answer them as well as they could. And when they weren't sure, they said, well, why don't we look at what the Bible has to say about that and think about that a little bit more. We prayed about things together. And I think it's so important as fathers that we emulate that lesson that I learned from my dad, that we aren't threatened by questions, that we engage with the questions, that sometimes we explore the answers together when we're not sure if we have the answer. And you know, some of the questions that we asked as kids might have even seemed a little blasphemous or sacrilegious. I played it a little safe, but one of my brothers, he tended to play the devil's advocate, as some would call it, to really press my dad hard. And he'd, you know, ask the questions like, you know, what if God doesn't exist and we're just all wasting our time living according to man-made rules? Or how can a loving God send people who've never heard about Jesus to hell? Or allow young people, young children to starve to death? How can God, you know, deal with innocence in that way? And of course, I know I just raised questions for, and maybe some of you have never dealt with those questions, and it's not really my intent to address that today, or we might be here for a while. And if you have that question, you can feel free to ask it and look at what the Bible has to say, because, you know, there's answers to those questions in places like the book of Habakkuk. And, you know, in Judges chapter 6, the Lord appears to Gideon, and Gideon's response is not to fall at God's feet and worship, but instead he comes with questions. He says, God, because God had said, you know, the Lord is with you. And he said, if you are with us, why have all these bad things happened to us? Because, of course, the people at that time were oppressed by the Midianites. Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about? Gideon said. And, you know, God didn't send a lightning bolt from heaven and say, oh, you know, I'll go find somebody else, somebody who has more faith in me. God responds and he says, Gideon, I'm going to use you to save Israel. And Gideon still has questions. He says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and my clan is the weakest in my tribe, and I am the least in my family. I'm the runt of the litter. What could I do? And again, God patiently answers his questions and even provides proof when Gideon asks for them that this really is God who's asking him to muster an army and a very small army against a very large Midianite army. And you know, if God isn't afraid of questions like that, then I believe that we shouldn't be either. And we should explore those questions together. You know, the last thing that I'm going to highlight today that I learned from my dad about serving Jesus is that Christians, especially Christian fathers today, do hard things. Christian fathers don't just stand on the sidelines and watch everything happen without jumping into the trenches and saying, what can I do about this? How can I make the world a better place? How can I demonstrate the love of Christ? We reject that. We reject standing on the sidelines and we engage. Sometimes we make mistakes, but you know, dads of courage, which is what Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, you know, he's closing his letter and these are the final things that he's saying, and he says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And you know what's the words that are translated be courageous in the NIV, if you look at some other translations, it'll say, act like men. And the word actually means that more, but they know that that's what Paul was talking about, in a sense. Act like men. Be men of courage. And that's what it takes sometimes to do the hard things. It takes a courageous heart. And I know that today, probably some of us as dads, we don't feel very courageous. Maybe we look at our dads and we say, you know, they were men of courage. They stepped out, they did things. But, you know, in today's politically correct environment, I'm feeling a bit timid about, you know, sharing my faith. Or, you know, I'm not just sure how to handle these situations or even what to tell my kids to do. And so I'm just, you know, that's why I'm kind of keeping quiet. But, you know, I believe that often it's when we step out, when we take a step of faith, when we say, you know what, let's explore this together. Let's see what the Bible says and if it applies to the situation that we're facing. You know what, I am going to reach out to my neighbor or my coworker. You know what, I am going to talk with my kids about how to handle some of these difficult situations that we're facing as a society, where the society is just totally rejecting Christian morality and encouraging behaviors and beliefs that are just so counter to what the Bible has to say. And we're going to talk about that not in a fearful, angry way, but in a way that says, you know what, we're called to be something different and to be an example to the world around us, to shine like stars in the universe. We do the unpopular as a family. I'm so glad that my dad set that example, and I'm trying to set that example for my kids too. The Christian life means doing hard things. And sometimes we can get discouraged. I know that I'm sure that my dad had times of discouragement. I remember him telling me about some of them. But you know, often our discouragement comes from a temporary loss of perspective. We forget how big our God is. We forget that we're not alone. Like Elijah, when he faced the threats from Ahab and Jezebel, and he got all depressed. And you know, God said, you feel like you're all alone, but there are hundreds of people in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal, who continue to follow me. You're not alone. There are people around you. And so one of the things that my dad taught me is that when I'm discouraged, that sometimes I just need to go to bed that night and wake up in the morning, God will renew my strength. And part of that, of course, is like I talked about at the very beginning of my sermon, recognizing our dependence on God, that as fathers, it's not all up to us, that we have a dad who we can go to, who can strengthen us and encourage us and help us to keep on going. And he's placed us in a big family, the church worldwide, to help us and support us and encourage us. And I want to encourage everybody who's listening today, but especially fathers, that if you feel discouraged today, if you feel stressed today, we don't have to do it all. We just have to put God's kingdom first, to love him and love our neighbor. And then to depend on him to give us the courage and the strength to answer the questions that our kids have, to help them to find the answers at least, even if we don't have them all ourselves, and to live the lives that God has called us to live. You know, as I've said so often throughout this sermon today, we live in confusing times, in times where we don't know the future. And there is one Father that we can depend on, who knows the future, who can guide us each step of the way. And that's why over the last number of weeks, we've been going through the Experiencing God series and trying to learn more about how to listen to God's voice and to follow his direction, to do what he's calling us to do. Because I really believe that as we do that, we will be the fathers that God has called us to be. We will have kids who rise up to serve him. And I know that even as I say that, that there are some fathers today in our congregation and you have sons and daughters who aren't serving the Lord. And of course, everyone has their own choices to make and we've made mistakes. And even today, a day when we celebrate, there can be pain in our hearts as we see some of the choices that our kids have made. But ultimately, once again, we can come back to our loving Heavenly Father. We can ask his forgiveness. We can ask our kids' forgiveness for the mistakes that we've made. And we can be encouraged to do in the present what God is calling us to do. It's never too late to start being the dad that God has called us to be. And so I want to encourage you with that today as well. That we're thankful for the good things that we can learn from our dads. We're repentant for the mistakes that we've made, but we can also step into a future. I think often about the line from Anne of Green Gables, where she says, you know, tomorrow is a day that's fresh with no mistakes. And thankfully, we serve that kind of a God who, when we come to him, when we say, God, I've messed up, but I'm depending on you, and I'm believing that you're going to help me, that God removes all of our sin from us, all of the mistakes. And he says, this is a fresh day and I'm with you and I'm going to help you to live for the future and to follow after me and to be the dad that I've called you to be. You know, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus encouraged his followers that we just needed to put God's kingdom first. And then Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Your Father knows that you need these things, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And so, fathers, that's my prayer for all of us today, that we would seek God's kingdom first, and that we would put our trust in God, our provider, who doesn't just provide things, but he provides strength and hope and joy and peace and wisdom for each and every day to help us to be the dads he's called us to be. Jean is going to lead us in a song today that simply expresses the fact that, you know, Jesus is the center of all that we are and all that we do. And so Christ is enough for us. And we've decided that no matter what happens in our lives, we're going to move forward with him. And so whatever the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart, whether it's just a word of encouragement today to say, yes, you can do it. With God's help, as we depend on him, you can do it. Or whether there's an area in your life that God has spoken to you and said, you know what, I want to build that into your life. I want you to become that kind of dad who loves God with all his heart, who loves his neighbor as himself, who encourages the questions, and who continues to walk with courage before the Lord. Whatever it is that the Spirit has been speaking to you, you know, you can respond today and simply say, yes, God, I'm repenting. I'm setting those things aside. I'm moving for you. Or God, I'm weak in this area. I'm going to depend on you in a new way to be the man that you've called me to be the husband and father that you've called me to be. Lord, we have decided today that we are not going to turn back. We are going to press forward into all that you have for us. We are going to seek first your kingdom, trusting that as we do, Lord, that you will provide all that we need. God, we're going to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul and strength. We're going to love our neighbors, not perfectly, Lord, but with your Holy Spirit's help, we're going to love with your love. We're going to show Christ to others. And Lord, as we puzzle through this journey with you, Lord, help us to continue to learn, to grow, to be open to all that you have for us, to ask the questions, and to seek out the answers together with our kids, if they're still at home with us, and with others around us. And Lord, to be men of courage who stand up for what's right. Lord, I'm so thankful for the Father that you gave me as an example. But Lord, even more than that, I'm thankful for the example that you are to each and every one of us as a father. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing over fathers today. I pray your blessing over fathers who are discouraged, who feel like failures today. And God, I'm believing that you're going to help them today, that you're going to lift them up by your Spirit. God, that you're going to show them the way forward. God, that you're going to give them the approach for their kids, whatever that is, whether they're grown and have left the home or whether they're still at home. God, you're going to help them to be the dad that you've designed them to be. And Lord, I believe as well that you're going to fill us with your Spirit. Oh God, how we need your Spirit. We depend on you. When we look at all the things that are happening in the world around us today, we recognize how much we need you to be the dads you've called us to be, to lead and give direction to our families as you've called us to be the husbands that you've called us to be. And so, Lord, today, we just look to you and we believe that you are going to give us wisdom and strength and hope, that you're going to help us to be humble and to love far beyond our capacity to love. And so, God, we thank you for that. We reach out to you, trusting you to be the dad that you've called that you have promised to be, so that we can be the dads that you've called us to be. Thank you, God, that we, when we say that, when we put our trust in you, that we can do it knowing that you are trustworthy, that you will live up to your side of the bargain, that you will continue to be our awesome Heavenly Father. We give you the thanks and the praise today. In your name we pray. Amen.